Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Jake Dobrins is a writer, speaker, minister, a creative thinker living in Oklahoma City. He's the founder of Theophany Media, which, folks, this is awesome. It's a Christian media company like no other. He writes fiction and nonfiction in a variety of ways, including poetry, short stories, books, screenplays, stage plays, academic essays, and also devotionals. He creates content for groups that range from young adults to young kids. Put it like that. His favorite topics are those that help people to better understand the Bible, grow spiritually, help them with their Christian identity. His most recent work is a book that's about to be launched called Who We Are, which we'll be discussing today. But I also want to make a point that he is the co-host of a great podcast called The Bible, But Funnier. Folks, this is, I'm already laughing. This is a great podcast. So we'll be talking about that as well. Praise the Lord. Help me welcome to the program, Jake Dobrins. Jake, thank you for coming on the program today.
Wow, thanks, Robert. Great introduction. I'm so glad to be here.
Hey, man. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Jake Dobrins?
Oh, man. Who am I? That's a tough question. Because as the intro kind of talked about, I kind of dabble in a lot of things. I kind of mainly identify as sort of a creative, because it's kind of a catch-all term. I have in entrepreneurial adventures here and there and all that, but I mainly like to tell stories through writing, have some plays published and working on some books, and I just like to communicate Christ creatively. That's sort of my goal. Nothing against standard preaching. I do a lot of that myself as an associate minister at my church, but I just think the world today needs to see Christ in a way that's a little bit more palatable, not watered down, of course, but something where they can be exposed to Jesus in a way that just kind of fits their life and can kind of reach them more effectively. Most people are probably not going to find their way into a church randomly, so I hope they find their way into my books, podcasts, and plays and can be blessed through that experience.
Yeah, amen, amen. And you obviously have a passion for entertaining, but yet educating people about faith in God. When did you realize you had a knack for using humor to get your points across?
Well, it's funny. I always kind of had that sort of bone in my body. Back in fourth grade, I kind of wanted to be popular. And so what I did, my idea was to come up with kind of a superhero alter ego. So I called myself Super Jake. And this character snowballed into short stories and a book that I have written now that I'm shopping around. And so it was all back then where I just kind of like to have fun. This superhero, Super Jake, he shoots ice cream out of his hands. That's his superpower. So just ridiculousness, and my brand of humor is just a little bit zany, a little bit crazy, and I've just kind of stuck with that ever since. However, in school, I took the academic path. I have a master's of theological studies. I wrote a thesis, and I have an academic journal article coming out. So kind of professionally, I'm sort of the stuffy academic, but I can't seem to shake, that knack for humor and that desire to be kind of fun.
Amen. So you're kind of like Superman, Clark Kent and Super Jake. right?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. I just take my glasses off and I become Superman. That's how it works.
Amen. Well, tell us why you formed Theophany Media.
Yeah, Theophany Media is kind of the marriage of those two parts of my identity that I just talked about. I love academic theology and the occasional theological debate. But a lot of times when we're talking about something like theology, it gets really scary and people start like breaking into Latin and German and it just gets inaccessible. And I wanted to bring some of those truths that I think the church does need to hear, does need to talk about to the common person. And so creativity is kind of the solution to that. So Theophany Media is supposed to be kind of about that marriage between good, rigorous theology, but done in a fun, creative, approachable way. Now, we've kind of pivoted in the last year to really serve Christian creatives themselves. At first, we were just going to be the content producer, but now we've kind of found ourselves in a mentorship role where we take these other creatives and promote their work and help them develop their skills so that they can go start their own things and do their own things and change the world for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So,
and you've won awards for your screenplays these last few years.
Right? For my theater plays, for my theatrical plays, not screen. Yeah. Not movies or anything. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But, I have won awards for, some of my short plays. I have, the one that won first place in the faith-based play competition is called Prophetic Theater, and it's a humorous retelling of Ezekiel and kind of imagines it as if Ezekiel, the prophet, is sort of auditioning for this role, and God is asking him to do some wacky things, because if you read through the book of Ezekiel, he does some really weird kinds of things, and so it's all about, like, Are you comfortable with doing these weird things when God asks? How do we wrestle with that? And ultimately the conclusion is, you know, God is good and has this plan. It might sound totally bonkers, but trust us, it's the good direction to go.
Amen. Amen. When did you begin writing screenplays?
Well, I've always been in, not always, but for a long time I've been in drama, and I do enjoy acting and that kind of thing, but to be honest, memorizing the lines was very difficult for me. So I kind of found myself in the writing role. That was one of my favorite roles to be in, because I could bring these stories to life and then let somebody else kind of take it away and interpret it and kind of do something kind of different with it, which is kind of a cool thing. Unlike a fiction story, just a regular story. I mean, I guess, yeah, you can have different pictures in your head of the characters, but in a play, you're actually kind of seeing what somebody else brings to life. So I've kind of enjoyed that. And when it comes to writing, I'm not really good with like really poetic descriptions. You know, let me describe the seashells on the shore. And so with plays and screenplays and that kind of thing, it's pretty dialogue driven, which is my favorite thing to write. And that's where you can really pack in the humor and then somebody else can kind of interpret the stage directions.
Amen. Well, does writing screenplays come easy for you?
Sometimes it depends. For my published plays, I don't have a lot out because it does kind of take some work and some time. They have to be structured very deliberately, whereas straight stories or books or fiction books, you can kind of have some flexibility. With a screenplay or a theatrical script, you have to really structure it right. So it takes a lot of time. So yeah, when I get the ideas, it comes easy, but sometimes it's really takes some time to really get that award-winning idea, so to speak.
Yeah, is it? It seems like it'd be hard to, you know, with the audio, as you said, the lines and visualizing the characters within the confines of what's going to be on the stage. You know, the stage backdrops and all that. how difficult is that to visualize and then bring it to pass?
Wow. Yeah, it's really challenging. It's a way different experience to bring something to life like that. For Prophetic Theater that I mentioned, I won the script competition and I got the chance to actually direct the play. It was a short play that just had three actors. Wasn't a huge commitment, but it was a very interesting experience because I have directed plays before, but it had been a while. And it's very different to hear somebody saying your lines. And sometimes I have to change those lines. Like, okay, that doesn't really sound like something like a real person would say. So let me tweak that. And then you have to think about, well, this character is supposed to be on the other side of the stage at this point, but they can't like teleport super fast. So what are we going to do? We got to kind of rearrange it here. So it's a whole kind of mess, but you know, thank your local director of any kind of production. They do a lot of work. Directing is hard because you have to bring in all those elements to life together to bring this whole thing to life.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say I can imagine, but I can't even imagine. I guess there's a reason why the directors are the ones who always get these awards and stuff for movies and things.
I mean,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Amen. Yeah, a lot of hard workers behind the scene with the directors bring it all together and make it make sense.
Yeah, amen. And your latest book, the one I want to talk about today, Who We Are, is about to be released, literally close to the time of this recording. Tell us what this book is about.
Yeah, so it started actually when I was doing college ministry. I taught this class about identity. One of the things that college students struggle with is, of course, trying to find kind of who they are, their identity, what's their place in the universe. So originally I started this class, and I kind of settled on this model where I first wanted to tear down bad identities, and then I wanted to build up the good ones. Too often, the church is either focused on two extremes, preaching against something, or just being so positive and just, you know, hey, just love everybody. Yeah. Like that's super easy or something. So I didn't want to go either extreme. So yeah, let's tear down the bad. Let's throw out the bad stuff. But let's also talk about, well, here's what to do. It's not just a thou shalt not. I want to do some thou shalls, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the whole book project is kind of an exploration for everybody, but I kind of have in the back of my mind college students and 20-somethings, just sort of an exploration and kind of building what does an actual Christian identity look like. Mm-hmm. And I go through kind of seven parts of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And who's the intended audience or the reader for your book?
Yeah, like I said, you know, an author always would like everybody to be the intended audience. Yeah. But the reality is, you know, I'm a young 20-something myself, and I'm really speaking to people my age, not as a guru with all the wisdom, but as somebody who's done some study, who's had some life experiences, who can pass on the wisdom I do have to other 20-somethings and young people who want to kind of figure out what does it actually mean to have my identity in Christ. And how can I resist these false identities the world is trying to put on me?
I mean, how long has it taken you to write this book?
Well, let's see. I originally wrote the class. And when I write a class, I kind of have a script of sorts, but more just talking points. And so I did that class fall of 2019, I believe. And so then it took me about a year to then kind of turn that into a book. It probably shouldn't have taken me a year, but it was a particular challenge, actually, in taking something you already wrote and just sort of turn it into book form.
It's hard.
I wouldn't have thought of that being so difficult. Sometimes, though, coming up with something new is actually easier. But this kind of adaption took me a little bit of time, and I missed some publisher deadlines, and the publisher was gracious, however, and we got it in, and now it's coming out.
Amen. Yeah, I know how hard it is to take something you've already written. Like, I did the same thing with my master's thesis. I so enjoyed the research of putting it all together that I turned that into a book, which I shouldn't have done. But some of the comments Fair were, enough. This sounds like a master's thesis. my great idea, you know, is like, well, because I'm not a creative writer, I guess you could say. So I got some good books out that were written creatively for that purpose. But like you said, taking an existing work and then trying to rework it into a book, that is extremely hard. And is one that I basically failed at. It's still published and I've had some sales on it. But it's not one of the Amazon bestsellers, put it like that.
But, hey, man, yeah, one of the challenges I said.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the issues that I kind of had, my teaching style is a little more open-ended. I have some open-ended questions. I let people kind of take the conclusions they want on certain things. I always try to kind of focus it on, this is sort of, by the end of it, this is the nugget of wisdom I want you to get. But along the way, I say, you know, well, what did you think of this character? What would you do in this situation? But that doesn't necessarily translate to a book where you kind of have to give, well, I did include reflection questions at the end, so hopefully people can still do those exercises and do the thinking themselves. Yeah. So that's another sort of difficulty in translating a teaching material to here's a nonfiction book.
Amen. Amen. Well, you talked about the seven identities that Christians may adopt, but they're not really Christian honoring in their foundation. Can you explain what you mean and share these seven identities with us?
Yeah. So some of these identities are just probably, most of these identities are not like bad per se. They're just not ones we should focus on. So the first one I talk about is the identity in sin. And this is one I have to be careful about because we are sinful people. There is a sense in which that's a part of us. But I want to resist the temptation to say, to focus too much on our sin, to suggest that we are only sin. And so I kind of counteract that with an identity in grace, because our actual identity is in grace, which covers our sin. So we can't throw out sin completely. We have to recognize, yeah, we are prone to do that, but grace is our ultimate identity. And then I also talk about these false identities of success, your past, happiness. Those are things that, well, you know, it's aware of how your past affects you today. Or it's not necessarily bad to have success, but hey, if that's your number one priority, we got a problem.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure we're not focusing on that. Then I also talk about family, which is an interesting one, but Jesus says some kind of harsh things about family, and there are ways in which your family can be too much of your identity, sometimes for good or sometimes for bad. Maybe your family is the star of the town, and you guys are, you know, famous. That could have negative effects. Or maybe your family isn't the talk of the town, or at least not for good reasons. Yeah, so those are ways that I can. And then the last two false identities are sexual freedom, which, I mean, is an important one in our modern culture. I don't want to dismiss the fact that, you know, we as humans have sexuality, but there are definitely ways that can become way too much a part of our identity and a part of how we act. Mm-hmm. And then the final one are groups. And I talk about several groups, political groups or certain associations, sometimes even allegiances to denominations that just get out of hand.
Yeah.
And I want to rein us in and say, ultimately, our allegiance is to the kingdom of God, not to these earthly groups.
Yeah.
So those are some of the identities I talk about. There could probably be way more false identities. I mean, I know there are. And there are way more positive, Christ-centered identities. There are way more ways to be like Christ. But, you know, seven, kind of a godly number, and it's a little more palatable, so I kind of stick with those seven.
Amen, amen. And these identities are not totally sinful in nature, though, right?
Right, they're not sinful. I mean, like, the happiness one was kind of a hard one, because like the phrase, does God want you to be happy, is a hard one, because, yeah, I mean, it's good when people are happy. I don't think God wants us to be depressed all the time. But ultimately, our purpose as Christians isn't to be the ones with the biggest smiles on our faces because of we're living our dream and we have all the money and all the pleasures and comforts. That's not our goal. That smile should come from the way we live our life, our connection with Jesus. And ultimately, we shouldn't be so self-focused. We should be focused on others. That's what I talk about in that chapter. That's the problem. It's not bad to be happy, but if we're all about us, not about others, Houston, we have a problem.
Amen, amen. But why is it important, though, for Christians to think about their identity?
Yeah, I think in our culture, we're obsessed with identity for good and for bad reasons. And I think Christians have to think about it because culture is forcing us to think about it. We are not just blobs of meat floating in the universe. We are people with unique personalities and emotions. And we have to kind of face that fact. So we have to think about our identity. Though as Christians, we have to think about it in relation to Christ. Christ is our example, but more than that, comes in and transforms us. We become new creations. So if you are in the church, if you're in the society of Christian believers, that should change. Not just change how you act, but like literally change your inside, change your whole soul, change your whole trajectory, because you're a new creation. So
amen.
It's important.
Yeah, amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Jake Dobrins, author of the book Who We Are, founder of Theophany Media, and host of the podcast The Bible, But Funnier. And I'm telling you, I am really enjoying this conversation. I believe you are as well. Jake is getting to some really deep stuff, but at the same time, he makes it so interesting. Amen? Not everyone is gifted enough to do this. Definitely not Brother Bob. Glory to God. But you need to get his new book, just being released, Who We Are. Go down to the show notes, click on the link, get this great book, click on the link, go to his website, take a look around, folks. I'm telling you, you absolutely need to subscribe to his podcast. It is great. I've listened to every single episode, amen? Be sure to come back for the next episode here as we are concluding this great two-part interview with Jake Dobrins. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait.
Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.